Well, last week we started a new series on overcoming discouragement, and we looked to the Apostle Paul as an example on how we can do this. Because when you think about Paul's life, here was a guy who suffered greatly, didn't he? He was beaten, he was betrayed, he was imprisoned, and yet he continued to stay encouraged through his walk, through his journey with Jesus. And so it would be wise for you and I to look at his life and say, hey, Paul, how did you do it? And so we're going to look at some of his words today. We're going to actually look at the same passage we looked at last week from Philippians 3, that famous passage where Paul talks about pressing on toward that goal. We're going to look at that again this morning. So if you take your Bible and open to Philippians 3, looking at verses 12 through 14. Paul says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Well, the main truth that I want to focus on today is this truth: don't look back. Don't look back. We see here that Paul had just said, I've not arrived yet. We looked at that last week, how Paul said, I don't know Jesus perfectly yet. I don't have my resurrection body yet. Perhaps he was singing that song. Maybe you've heard that song on the Christian radio. All I know is I'm not home yet, right? This is not where I belong. Take this world and give me Jesus because this is not where I belong. Maybe Paul was singing that because he knew he hadn't arrived at his goal yet. He wasn't there yet. And so in light of that, he says this in verse 13. He says, but this one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Well, what did Paul mean by forgetting what is behind? Unfortunately, he doesn't go into great depth or detail on that phrase. But I believe as we look to the Word of God, we will find answers to that question. What does Paul mean by forgetting what is behind? And so we want to focus on that phrase today. And I want us to look at forgetting what is behind in two areas as believers. And the first area is, you could call BC. This is our life before we came to Jesus Christ, before we were saved. And then secondly, our life AC, which is after Christ. There's no DC, just in case you guys are wondering. But BC and AC. So first is BC, before we came to trust in Jesus Christ. We all have a past, don't we? And by past, I mean a sinful past. And for most of us, it's probably likely that we had a whole lot more sin before Christ than after sin, or greater sin, or you could call it deeper sin, more grievous sin against God before we came to Christ. Now, if you came to believe in Jesus when you were like 5 years old, well, then maybe that's not the case. Maybe you told some lies. Maybe you disrespected, dishonored your parents. But there may have not been a whole lot of sin for you if you got saved at a young age. But for many of us, if it was maybe 18 or 30 or 40 or 50, we had a lot of sin there before we came to Christ. And so we see for Paul, he did have some great sin before he came to Christ. Let's look at what he says about his life before coming to Christ in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. Paul says this. He says, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Just stop and think for a moment about the Apostle Paul's life. Now, he was called Saul, right, before he came to Christ. Think about his life. He He was there when that man named Stephen, that Christian, was being stoned to death. He was delighting and cheering on the death of Stephen. Saul was opposed to anyone who was connected to Jesus. If you knew Jesus, he wanted you dead. He despised you. He was a violent man. He was a hater of the church, of the people of God. And yet, we don't find Paul saying this. We don't hear Paul saying, "Oh man, I just don't know how I can live with myself anymore. After all those things I did, you know, I'll just sit back on the sidelines and I'll watch the more righteous Christians do service for God." We don't find Paul saying that, do we? We find Paul thinking about the mercy and the grace of God. As soon as he looks back on his past and what it was like before Christ, he delights in the mercy of God because he knows this, that God's mercy has covered all of his sin. Yes, even persecuting the church, that was covered by the blood of Christ. That Paul was a new creature in Christ. That old things were passed away, and behold, now all things were becoming new. And Paul knew this, that God delighted in taking those who were once immersed in the filth of sin and washing them clean and then using them for his glory and for his purposes. And Paul was one of those guys. Well, how about us? Do you live in constant regret because of the sins you committed before coming to Christ? Unfortunately, one of the things we can't do is forget. Can we? Well, we do forget, right? We can forget. We forget all the time. I know I forget to, you know, maybe take out the trash, or I forget to get something at the store. That's why we write lists, right? Because we forget. And then we forget to write something on the list that we're supposed to get at the store. But yeah, we forget all the time, don't we? But what I mean by this, by forget, is we can't purposefully forget something, can we? We can't force ourselves to forget something sinful that we did years ago. In fact, the more we try to force ourselves to forget that, we'll probably remember it even more because it will be at the forefront of our minds. But by forgetting those things that are behind, or forgetting those things, we need to forget those sinful things, knowing that God has forgiven us and cleansed us. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if we had a delete button, if our human bodies came with a delete button and we could just hit the delete button. You know, like on your laptop, you got the thing, and the iPad, your phones, they have. Helen taught me the other day, I'm getting used to the iPad, and I was like, "How do you delete these emails? I don't know how to do it on my laptop. How do you do it?" She goes, "Oh, you just take your finger and you just swipe it to the left." I was like, "Wow, that's pretty cool. Swipe. Ooh. Delete, delete, delete." Just like that. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just delete from our minds some of those sinful things we did before coming to Christ? It'd be wonderful, wouldn't it? But we don't have that capability to do that. And so we continue to remember that in Christ, he's forgiven us. He's covered us. All of our sins are gone because of the blood of Jesus. Listen to what Peter says to the church, to those who may have struggled with believing and remembering that they were forgiven, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Peter says this, "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly love." Whoop, did I just miss something? "And to godliness brotherly kindness," I'm sorry, "and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." We see here that Peter makes a connection between ineffectiveness and losing sight of our forgiveness. He's saying this, that we can be spiritually stagnant if we forget that we've been cleansed from those former sins, it will hinder our walk if we dwell on those past sins. And that is why one of the best things that you and I can do as believers is this: every morning when we get out of bed, before our feet even hit the floor, before we say, "Oh, my aching back," before we grab that cup of coffee, that we say this: God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for forgiving me. God, thank you for what you've done in my life, that you no longer count my sins against me, that they've been covered, that as far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed my sins from me. That we remember that as soon as we start our day, that we're forgiven and cleansed and free in Christ. Because if we don't, what will happen? We will not grow in areas of goodness and faith and self-control and all those things if we're forgetting that we've been cleansed from our past sins. So let me ask you, how are you doing? How are you doing? Do you live each day knowing that your past sins have been covered by the blood of Christ? Now, for some, this may be difficult, because at times we still live with the consequences, don't we, of our past sins. For example, think of the man who's in prison today, and he's there because he committed murder. And he has no chance of getting out. He's sentenced to, what do they do, like more than one life? I don't really understand that. But he's got like nine lives or something like that. He's in there for, there's no way he's getting out. And so this man who committed murder is in prison, and he meets with the chaplain. And the chaplain shares the gospel of Jesus Christ with this man. And this man repents. He puts his faith in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, is that man forgiven? Yes. Even of murder? Yes. But when he gets up off that bunk every morning, what's the first thing he sees? He sees those iron bars. And those bars are a reminder of what he has done. And he lives with that every day. That's consequences of his actions, consequences of his sin. He's forgiven by God, yes, but he still lives every day with the consequences of his sin. Well, none of us here, hopefully, will spend our lives in prison. But how many of us may be imprisoned by the sins of our past, by the sins that we've committed? Maybe because of the things we've done, we remember those things each and every day. God does not want you to dwell on those things. He doesn't want you to dwell on those past things. Know that they're covered by the blood of Christ. Know that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That God casts our sin into the depths of the sea. He chooses to remember them no more. Well, the second area I want us to consider today is our life, specifically our sins, after coming to Christ. That would be really nice if once we came to believe in Jesus, we became perfect, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it be great if we trust in Jesus and then we never sin again? Every decision we make is perfectly pleasing to God. That would be awesome, wouldn't it? But as you know, and I know, that is not the case, right? We still sin after coming to Christ. Well, what about those sins? What happens to those sins? Well, the same principle applies. The same blood that covered our sins before Christ is the same blood that covers our sins after coming to Christ. We're not to dwell on these sins either. Now, please understand, I'm not saying we treat sin in a trivial kind of way. That we say, well, hey, I'm forgiven anyway, so what's the big deal if I sin? In fact, the Bible would teach the very opposite. If we've come to Christ, then our attitude ought to be, God, help me from sinning. Keep me from sinning. That's what our hearts ought to be like. And though we should regret our sin and do all we can not to sin, the fact remains, we still fall short of God's glory. All of us, every day, we still sin. As we look to the Apostle Paul, he reminds us of this, that famous tongue-twisting passage in Romans chapter 7. So let's try that. I'm going to try to read it. Romans 7. Let me get a drink before I start this one. Romans 7, 14 through 25. Paul says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature or flesh. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin." Some have tried to interpret this passage as Paul speaking about his life before coming to Christ. But if you were to do an in-depth study on the book of Romans, if you were to just start in chapter 1 and go to chapter 16, verse by verse, dig through it, you would know very clearly that Paul is not, I repeat, not talking about his life before coming to Jesus. He's talking about his life as a Christian, as a forgiven, blood-bought, born-again Christian. He's talking about the struggle that he has between his sinful nature, his flesh that still exists, and the Holy Spirit, the desire to do the will of God, to delight in God's law. This battle. Talks about that battle in Galatians 5 when he says we have a conflict in our very being, a conflict between the flesh and the Holy Spirit. And he would say that is why we don't do what we want to do, because of this battle. Paul would also say in that passage, what? Wretched man that I am. Didn't say wretched man that I once was. Now, Paul was clearly a wretch before he came to Christ. We just read that in 1 Timothy. But in this passage, Romans 7, he's talking about his life as a believer and the struggle that he has with sin. When we see Paul's attitude, what is it here? Does he wallow in his sin? Does he spend the next five chapters just talking about how he'll never be used of God and just dwell on how what a wretch he is? He doesn't. There's one line, right? Wretched man that I am. He lets us know where he's at. But then what does he say? But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God because he gives me the victory. I know that one day this body of sin is going to be done away with. I know that one day I will no longer have to wrestle with sin. That when I get to glory and I get a new body, that body is not going to be subject to sin. I will not be tormented nor frustrated by sin ever again when I get my new body. Some people wonder, you know, gee, I wonder if when I get to heaven, you know, is there like a possibility that maybe I could slip up and sin and God could kind of kick me out? No. How can you be so sure? Because God has promised us two things. Number one, there won't be sin in heaven. And number two, all those who were there will be there forever. And so guess what? There's no chance that we're sinning, folks. Because sin won't be there, and if we're there, we won't be sinning. So put that in your whatever and do something with it. How's that? All right? How about you? How do you deal with your sins after coming to Christ? Sometimes we can feel an even greater sense of guilt because we think this way. Well, you know, the sins before Christ, like Paul says, I was kind of ignorant about a lot of things and I just did them. We think about those days before Christ and we think, you know, I was just kind of living to please myself anyway. I mean, yeah, I had a moral sense of right and wrong, but I was really just following my flesh. I hadn't tasted of God yet. I hadn't tasted and seen that He is good. I didn't have the Holy Spirit living in me. I hadn't been overwhelmed by the mercy and the love of God. So yeah, I can kind of understand giving into sin then, but how about after? How about after putting my faith in Jesus and experiencing Jesus and walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus, and yet I still sin? Sometimes that can make us feel really guilty, can it? As Christians, because we got the Spirit in us now. We have no excuse. And when that happens, church, when that happens, please remember what Romans 7 says. Remember that we still struggle, and there's an end to this struggle. Know this, that the same blood that cleansed you before Christ is the same blood that cleanses you from your sins after Christ, and future as well. It's all covered. So let me ask you a question. Do you live with constant regret for the sins that you have committed as a Christian? I know that since coming to Christ, a lot has changed in my life. Since coming to Christ, I got married. I'm now a husband. I had a bunch of kids, right? I had 5 kids, so I became a father. At 35, I became a pastor. A lot changed since I came to Christ. And if I had a nickel for every time that I fell short in just these 3 roles that I have, the times that I didn't treat my wife with the love and respect that I should, the time that I didn't nurture her in the Word, the times maybe with my children I was rude and disrespectful and haven't nurtured them in the Word like I should. As a pastor, the times I've blown it, the times I've missed opportunities, I look back and say, why didn't I do something there? Or why didn't I not do something or whatever? You look back, and if I had a nickel for all the times I fell short, I could easily fill up all those baby bottles that are empty in the back of the church. And you know what? I could focus my mind and attention on all those times I fell short. But what I need to remember is because I'm in Christ, it's washed clean. God doesn't hold those things against me. God chooses to not remember them, so to speak. He doesn't bring them to His mind. Why? Because He's punished Christ for my sins. And so maybe you need to think the same way if you struggle with your sins as a Christian. The times you fall short, the times you don't give God your best, your glory, all that He deserves. If you have regrets for those sins that you've committed as a believer, know this: God would want you to focus once again on the cross of Jesus, because that is where forgiveness took place for our past, present, and yes, even our future sins. That is how much God loves us. That is why, as we read the scriptures, why there's so much emphasis on the love of God and knowing the love of God, how big it is, how huge it is. Because if we don't continually think about the love of God, we will live in a constant state of discouragement. Because we'll be focusing on our failures rather than the grace of God. So, church, I pray that you would focus once again, if you're struggling, focus once again on the cross of Christ. Know beyond the shadow of a doubt what it has accomplished in your life, the freedom, the forgiveness that God brings to you, that he just wants to walk with you. You're just his kid. You're his child. He wants you to know him better, to trust him more, to love him more, to walk by faith, not by sight. Would you do that? Would you focus on the cross? And today, if you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus, then the Bible's very clear. The Bible says this, that the wrath of God remains upon you. Basically, what that means is if you were to die today, if you were to breathe your last breath, you would stand before God. He would judge you for each and every sin that you've committed without mercy. Be no mercy, no grace. It would just be strict justice, strict judgment that would come upon you, that would fall upon you. And that's a dreadful thing to think about, isn't it? To fall into the hands of God without any grace, without any mercy, to be all alone, and to just have to answer for all of your sins, that's a dreadful thought. And to be judged by him, and then for him to say, depart from me, I never knew you, and to give you an eternal punishment that is perfectly just for all your sins that you've done, that's a dreadful thought. And so my prayer for you today is, if you've never trusted in Jesus, then let today be the day that you turn. That you turn from sin and trust in Christ alone. Believe in your heart that what Jesus did on the cross was for you. That he bore your sin. That he died for your sins. That he rose again. Many people will say, I believe Jesus died for my sins. But then you know what they'll say after that? They'll have their own definition of sin. Don't be like that. Let God define sin for you through his word. And believe that Jesus died for those sins in your life as well. If you don't know Christ, then humble yourself before him today. Call out to him. He will save you. He will forgive you and give you a new heart and a new life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that Paul brings to us, Lord. Thank you for the message that we need to press on. Lord, our lives are just but a vapor, but a breath. They're mist. They're here and gone so quickly. Lord, help us to be about your business, to be more zealous for you, to just stop and focus more on our relationship with you, the busyness of our lives. Lord, help us to love you. And Lord, most of all, help us to remember that because of the cross, we are completely forgiven. That all of our sins are washed away by the wonderful blood of Jesus. And Jesus, today we say thank you. Thank you for your perfect sacrifice. We'd be lost and doomed without you, so we thank you, Jesus, for it. Lord, I just pray that you would help us all to be encouraged. There's so many things that would discourage us, Lord, in life and in our own failures and regrets that we have. So, Lord, help us to focus upon you and be encouraged and be filled with joy. And, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in this, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.